Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, September the 19th, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to talk a little bit today about two very important interviews in the last couple of days. One is President Biden with 60 Minutes, and the other one is President Trump, or former President Trump, with Hugh Hewitt, the radio host. We're going to talk about both of those because they've created a little controversy, to say the least, especially President Trump for what he said and President Biden for what he didn't say, or he said this or this or that. So we'll get into that in a minute. I just want to give you a reminder that later on today, we'll be recording our podcast with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. That should be up in my blog and on my Facebook page later this evening, maybe 6-7 o'clock Central Time. It should be up so you can hear our chat with Bill. We do this once a week. We take a look at the events of the week. And it's always very interesting, to look at the week, you know, the events of the week with him. I also want to remind you that on Sunday night, we recorded a video as well as a podcast with my friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We looked at what's happening in South Texas, the reaction in South Texas to having these buses going to different cities across the country. Very interesting reaction. We also talked about the Beto O'Rourke, Governor Abbott campaign, which, by the way, a brand new poll came out this morning over at the Dallas Morning News. And that race is now a 9-point race. Governor Abbott is up by 9 points. That's a little bit higher than the average. The average has been 7 since the first of the year. So it looks like, you know, at least in the Dallas Morning News poll, it's 9 points, which is a pretty comfortable lead at this stage of the campaign. As I said in my interview with George on Sunday night, since these polls began to be taken, if I could put it that way, and that would have been the first week of the year, not a single poll has shown Beto O'Rourke beating the governor or within the margin of error, which is usually 3 points in these polls. So he's been behind. And I'll stick to my prediction that I said many times. I think it's going to be 54-45 or 55-44, going to be between 9 and 11 points when it's all said and done. Beto O'Rourke is simply not turning on anybody. His campaign does not have a message for Texas. And I think after this election, the Democrats should walk away from this election. They really need to step away from the election and ask themselves the question, are we nominating people who can win in San Francisco, or are we nominating people who can win in Texas? I think you know the answer to that question. They're nominating people for San Francisco, and that's what Beto O'Rourke is. He's too far to the left. And that's why he's going to go down. Maybe, I'm not saying that you couldn't have a Democrat elected governor again, but it's going to have to be a Democrat who's running in Texas, not in San Francisco. Once the Democrats figure out that Texas is a conservative state, then I think maybe they'll figure out how to win elections, at least at the state level. I'm not talking about districts, because that's always different. So check out the interview with George Rodriguez, and the interview later today with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Let's talk a little bit about this amazing television that we saw today. And I didn't see the whole thing. I mean, it went on for like 8 hours, but I saw bits and pieces of it. This amazing funeral for Queen Elizabeth. And I say amazing because we saw something on television today that obviously they didn't see it back in 1952, the last time that the monarch passed away, her father then. Back in 1952, it was on television, but probably, you know, a very limited number of people, and most people around the world got to see it, but in newsreels, not live on television like we did today. But for example, when they took the casket and they brought it down, all of that is the first time that has ever been seen on television. So a tremendous amount of history today. I'm not an expert of the British monarchy. As I've said many times, I actually know very little about it. It's just not something that has interested me, but I know it's very important. But all I can tell you is that I was really impressed with the tradition and the pageantry of what we did this last week. There's something about pageantry and tradition that has always meant a lot to me, because I think that this pageantry and this tradition, this is how you pass your history to the next generation. This is how the next generation knows about the last generation. Very often, well, obviously by reading a book, but very often events like today are even more consequential to pass on the history. So I want to congratulate everybody in the UK who had something to do with this funeral. And of course, the Queen herself was a very classy lady. And she was very classy from the beginning to the very end. And that's, I think, her legacy overall. So God Save the King. I guess they're going to be singing now. Or they're singing that now in the UK. God Save the King. We're going to have to get used to singing that from now on. Well, let's talk about these two interviews that I was talking about. Let's begin with President Biden. I have a post coming out tomorrow about this. It's getting risky to put President Biden on television. I don't know how else to say it. Listen to what he said in this interview and tell me, and I think you can understand why everybody in the White House is freaking out, cleaning up after the president. First, let's talk about Taiwan. He says that, yes, he would defend Taiwan. Well, first of all, that's not the policy of the United States to defend Taiwan. If he's going to send troops into Taiwan, he's going to have to go to Congress and get a declaration of war, because there is no constitutional power for him to send troops to Taiwan. There's no such thing. We have no treaty with Taiwan. We have nothing. So we have no basis on which to send troops. But he said he would. And then, of course, the interviewer, the gentleman at 60 Minutes, was poking him, saying, well, so this is different than Ukraine. And, you know, President Biden just get digging and digging deeper. And the White House has been in panic mode in the last 12 hours, saying, no, there's no change of policy. He just, I guess, didn't know the policy. Well, if you're the president of the United States, look, we understand you're going to make mistakes. That's part of the game. We understand that. But if you're going to go on TV and you don't know our policy toward Taiwan, and our policy toward Taiwan is very, very clear, very, very clear, our policy toward Taiwan. Let me say hello to Eric. Our policy toward Taiwan is very clear. We're not sending troops to Taiwan. We have no reason to do that, no diplomatic arrangement to do that. So what is he talking about? But yet, there he goes again, and the White House is like going nuts. They're saying, no, we haven't changed our policy. Well, you better explain that to the president of the United States, because they're the one people listen to. They listen to the president. They don't listen to the people in the White House who are cleaning up after him. The other thing is the way he described inflation. You know, he came across as a man who didn't care about inflation. And maybe that's a little harsh on my part, but that's how he came across. He said, it's only 8.3%. Yeah, the highest level we've had in 40 years. And if you talk to any person, just go out in the street and talk to your neighbors. What is killing the American family right now is groceries, buying food. I mean, it's unbelievable how much things have gone up. Just talk to any housewife and you'll see what I'm talking about. But yet he came across like aloof. I mean, like, well, it's only 8.3% and it only changed. Come on, Mr. President. I mean, that's a stupid way to say it. So he came across poorly. Now, as far as 60 Minutes is concerned, you know, I've seen some criticism of the fellow who was interviewing the president. I'm not going to be real critical of the man, but there is something going on with the American news media that ever since Donald Trump left the White House, the American news media has gone to sleep, and they just don't seem to have the same energy or the same curiosity to go after President Biden. I just don't know how else to say it. Their curiosity is gone, and they're soft. They don't want to ask follow-up questions, We saw this recently with the vice president being interviewed on Meet the Press. I mean, what a joke that was. So anyway, I think the media maybe needs to get back in the game because we have some serious problems and we need to ask some serious questions. And that's not happening, at least not with President Biden and not with Vice President Harris. Let's talk a little bit about President Trump and his interview. That was with Hugh Hewitt, who has a very popular radio show across the country. I usually catch it on the podcast, but you can listen to it here in Dallas early in the morning and in other parts of the country, either live or whatever. But Hugh Hewitt was interviewing President Trump, and he said, "Do you believe you're going to be indicted?" I'm going to paraphrase things a little bit. You can see the actual transcript by looking it up. And he said, Hewitt said, "Are you going to be indicted?" And he said, "Well, if that happens, the people are not going to put up with it." And then, of course, you know, you got people in the media freaking out, saying that President Trump is calling for a rebellion. My goodness, we're going to burn cities. No, that's not what the president was saying. What the President Trump was saying is that the American people are not going to put up with the double standard. That's what he was saying. When you have Hillary Clinton, okay, basically nothing happened to her, and her crimes were more serious than the allegations against President Trump. How do we know that? Because the director of the FBI, Mr. Comey, told us about all the things that she did. I mean, don't you remember that long speech that he gave going one by one, enumerating everything that she had done, including having a server in her home where she was conducting her job as Secretary of State. So what President Trump was saying is the public is not going to put up with it, because the public is going to see the double standard. Well, let me give it to you from my perspective. That's exactly how I'm going to react. I voted for President Trump, and I'm going to react by saying, wait a minute, you're going after him, but you didn't do anything to her? That's what he was talking about in answering the question from Mr. Hewitt. He was simply saying the public is not going to put up with the double standard. He's exactly right about that. I mean, 100% correct on that. I said it before in one of these videos. I'll say it again. The smartest thing that the attorney general could do is to call a news conference tomorrow morning. Obviously, he's going to have to wait for the master to go through the documents. But as soon as that happens, call a press conference and say, we've got the documents that we were looking for. They've been transferred to a safe location, and we're shutting down this investigation right into this. That would be the smart thing for him to do. If they go after Trump legally, President Trump is right. The reaction in the country is going to be huge and very negative, very, very negative. And it should be, because the double standard will be obvious to anyone who wants to look at the truth. Well, I'm going to leave you today with something that happened on this day in 1985. That would make it 37 years ago. It was on this day that big earthquake happened in Mexico City. It was a huge earthquake. I think 3,000 or 4,000 people were killed. When I saw the initial photos coming out of Mexico City, I thought it was going to be like 10 or 20,000 people, because it was really devastating. But the good news is that it happened in a section of the city, in one section of the city. And the other good news is that the earthquake happened at 7 o'clock in the morning, when most people were either driving to work or at home getting ready to go to work. So you didn't have buildings full of people. Had it happened at 10 o'clock in the morning, obviously there would have been more people killed. But it was a huge earthquake, and many buildings did collapse, and it was a nasty experience. It was a very nasty experience for the people of Mexico City. And that happened 37 years ago today, if you can believe it. 37 years ago today. Let me say hello to my friend, I am. I promise we're going to get into that topic you brought up yesterday about counting immigrants and representation in the Congress. We're going to get into that soon with my friend George. Well, that's going to be it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you later. And don't forget to catch my interview with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. We're going to have that later today. That'll be in the podcast. We're still trying to figure out how to do it, how to combine the podcast and the video. We're working on that, and one of these days I'll be able to do it. But right now, I guess my technical expertise is limited, and we'll figure it out, though, one of these days, how to do it so we can do one interview that everybody can hear both ways. Thank you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.